Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Bwana asifiwe.
I love you Kenyans.
Nawapenda wa Kenya wa miguu kakarao.
I know you love me too.
Na tamani na tarajio kwamba mnanipenda au sio?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Upate Yesu.
I appreciate being here so much.
Amboke nawe kama nakumbe ndo nakaa ahenya.
I love you.
I love.
And I appreciate your love to me.
Kilo amoni era moyo wangu.
But I love someone more. I love someone else more than anyone else.
So I love my tomorrow, my tomorrow.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mano en Jesus Cristo majawa watunamaya.
I have fallen head over heels in love with Him.
Na tonje ena kume kilo arere bilala.
He has become my identity. I've gotten to know him in the spirit. Who are you, Pastor Bronk? Are you a pastor? Yes. But what I am first and foremost. I am a son of God. I know my Father. He's Papa God, Abba God to me. Over the last several years. Over the last several years, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through praying in tongues, through private worship, I've gotten to know Him like never before. I have found He's a God of love. My identity is in Him. I love preaching the gospel. I love preaching His word. But my identity is not in here. I mean in what I'm doing as preaching. If somehow you were to take this away from me, put me in a jail cell somewhere, I'm still totally satisfied. Because my identity is in Jesus Christ. It's not in what I do, but it's in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3.
Surah ya tatu.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you feel like your spirit has been growing this week? We're going to take another step in that growth tonight. Praise the Lord. Now we've been reading from a lot of the epistles of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to read some more tonight out of Philippians chapter 3. And in chapter 3, verse 4, we're going to begin to read. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee.
Tahiriwa siku ya nane ni mtu wa taifa la Israeli wa kabila ya Benjamini Mwebrania wa Waebrania kwa habari ya kuishi Torati ni Farisayo.
concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now Paul is identifying who he was before Christ. He talks a lot about his history here. He's describing that he was well qualified in the flesh. He says, as touching the law, he said he was touching the righteousness which of the law blameless. That does not mean he was sinless. But that he followed all the practices of sacrifice. But he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And he says, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have counted and suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He says, I'll count everything as loss. He had a doctorate degree in the law. Very strong, educated man. He was known by the Jews. And he says, I'll trade all of this for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he says, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Now he says this in verse 10. He says that I may know him. The first place, the first thing in Paul's life, the most important thing was that he would get to know Christ. The word know him is very strong here. He wanted to have a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said everything else in this life he counted but dung. Nothing carried the importance of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says here, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now he says, the first thing I want to do is I want to know Christ more than anything else. And when he said the power of his resurrection, he was saying, I want to know him in everything that his resurrection set me free from. And he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now what are the fellowship of his sufferings? Christ doesn't expect me to suffer for the things that he suffered on the cross. I can't take away your sins. I can't suffer for them. He suffered for my sickness, my poverty, my depression, all those are the things that come against me. But yet Paul says, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. We'll look at those in just a moment. He says, the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he starts in verse 12 by saying, not as though I had already attained. So this tells us something very important here. When he says, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, he goes on to say that I want to know him in, he says, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, he wasn't talking about when he died that he would be resurrected and go to heaven. He was talking about something present tense. He wanted to attain unto a death. He wanted to die to his flesh. He wanted to live in the image of Jesus Christ. He didn't want anything ruling over his life. He wanted this. That when you saw Paul, you saw Jesus Christ. When you saw Paul, you didn't see a man living for himself. You saw a man living for Christ. He wanted to be so dead to himself that he was living the life of Christ. When we get to that place, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can really move through us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Paul says, not as though, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Verse 13. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back up. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after that, or follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ. Paul says, I don't count myself to already have obtained that place. But he says, I continue to follow after. That I might apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. It was as if Christ had apprehended Paul. And Christ was saying, Paul, I've got you. You've got to know me so far that I've got you in my clutches. You're apprehended. Now see that mark up there? See that image up there?
Na unaona sasa hiyo mfanano kwamba Kristo anashikilia Paulo wako sasa bega kwa bega mfano kama huu.
That's you fully walking in my image.
Katika hiyo hali ambapo sasa nafika badala ya kuonekana Paulo aonekane Yesu.
You're going to have to die to yourself.
Lazima ufe mwenyewe.
But as a result,
lakini matokeo yake,
I'm going to live through you.
Mimi nimeishi kwa niaba yako.
Hallelujah.
Bwana asifiwe.
Praise the Lord.
Bwana asifiwe.
He says, because of this, brethren, he says, I do forget those things. Verse 13. I forget those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word press here is an interesting word. It's actually the word persecute. That's exactly what it means. It means persecute. Now, prior to Christ, Paul was a persecutor. He persecuted the church. So in his flesh, he knew something about persecution. But now he's turning to the things of the Spirit. And he says, I press towards the mark. He says, I persecute towards the mark. He wasn't talking about persecuting other people. But he was talking about if there's anything that gets in my way of getting to know Christ. I'm pressing towards that mark. I'm fighting towards that mark. If anything comes to challenge that image of Christ, I've been apprehended of him. He says, press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Now, Paul knew this. His high calling was in his apostleship. His high calling was to get to know Christ. My identity is to get to know him. Out of him comes my call. Out of him comes my anointing. Out of him comes everything in my life. Whatever about my flesh, whatever about me that still needs to die, Paul says this. If it comes to challenge his image, it'll feel like it's been run over by a steamroller. I will persecute towards the mark. For the prize of the high calling. Hallelujah. Now he said earlier verse, he says, let me know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. The sufferings of Christ that he wants us to know. Chapter 2 tells us what, chapter 2 verse 5 says this. It says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. Verse
5. Iweni na nia hiyo iliyo ndani yenu ambayo ilikuwa pia ndani ya Kristo Yesu.
Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. In some Greek books, there's one word that describes this whole phrase, let this mind be in you. It's the word phroneo. And it means to have an association with. It means to think like Jesus thought. Associate your thoughts with his. How did he think? If I think like him, I'm going to follow the will of the Father. So he says in verse 6, or verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So how many of you know that Jesus was God in the flesh? But he also was a man. But he made, verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him for himself the form of a servant, which is the word slave. The word says here that he took upon himself the form of a servant or a slave, or rather it says this, the form of a servant. And Paul says, being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the suffering that we're to follow in Christ. We understand that Jesus himself came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. Even though he was God in the flesh, he humbled himself. And as a man, he followed his Father. He chose not his own will, but the will of the Father. And he continued to live a crucified life. He was one time at the end of his life crucified for all mankind. But Paul says this, that he gave himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus continued his whole life to submit to the Father. Wherever the Father wanted him to go. He didn't choose his own will. He chose the will of the Father. When he was persecuted against, he did not revile. He did not respond. Because every day of his life, he chose to live under the dominion of that new, or of that nature of life that he had in him. We have a new nature. Christ was born with that nature of life. He walked in a flesh body, meaning this, that he had the same kind of flesh that we have. He was God in the flesh. But if he would have wanted to, he could have chose his own will. But he continued to choose. There was no sin found in him. no disobedience. He continued all his life to choose the will of the Father. He humbled himself. We have to continue to give ourselves over to that. We have to continue to choose his life. Even when your flesh is telling you, you need to do something different. Paul says, I'll press towards that mark. I'll follow the example of Christ. I'll associate my thoughts with his thoughts. I'll not let my flesh have dominion over me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Now in Luke chapter 9, we won't turn there, but Jesus said that we were to pick up our cross daily and follow him. Verse 9, 23 and 24. That's in Luke. We're not turning there. We're in John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 says this, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you may believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me.
Mpate kuamini. Mimi sitasema nani maneno mengine tena, kwa maana yuaja mkuu wa ulimwengu huu, wala hana kitu kwangu.
Jesus was talking to his disciples.
Yesu akawa anaongea na wanafunzi.
And it was at the end of his life.
Katika
just before he was going to the cross. And he says this, that the prince of this world is coming. In other words, he could see him trying to come to stop him. But he said this, he has nothing in me. Meaning in the 33 years that he lived, he had never given any kind of handle to the enemy. He had continued to live a life of death. And as he continued to live a daily life of death before his Father, the word says he gave himself unto death, even the death of the cross. If the Lord had not lived a daily life of death in submitting to the Father, when it got down to the end, he would not have been willing to go all the way to death. And here he's telling his disciples this. The enemy is coming to see if he can stop me. He wants to try to talk me out of this. But he has nothing in me that he can twist. He has no handles in me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad our Lord gave himself over to the death, even the death of the cross? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Kenya is saved. Bless the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse
3.
Paul says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen. Maana silaha za vita vyetu si za mwili, bali zina uwezo katika Mungu hata kuangusha ngome za shetani.
Now what he identifies as strongholds, he tells us what strongholds are in the next verse. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Part of the foundation of that is this, that Paul said through his apostleship, and he was teaching them through the argument of the power of the gospel and of the word of God. That strongholds could be pulled down. He said these strongholds were imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now we've been talking this week a lot about right ways of believing. And right ways of thinking. Paul said a stronghold in your life is a wrong way of thinking. It sets itself up as imaginations, and it will exalt itself against the knowledge of God, which is the word of God. These strongholds can be handles in your life. Christ gave his life for you that you could be free. How many of you enjoyed the message this afternoon by Pastor Jim? He showed us 8 benefits of praying in tongues. A couple of those benefits were this. One, the Holy Spirit builds us up on our most holy faith. He edifies us so that our spirit gets strong. We build spiritual muscle. Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps our infirmities. The word infirmities means weaknesses. These can be strongholds in our life. Wrong ways of thinking. Wrong ways of believing. Wrong attitudes. Wrong motivations. Things that hold back our life from truly walking in the image of Christ. They can be handles in our life. They can be things in our life in which the enemy can twist. Just about the time God sends us to do something, if we've not been given ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, and some of that wrong believing is, and some of those strongholds of the flesh are still there, we won't be like Christ where we can say He has nothing in me. But the word says it's through the Spirit that we mortify the deeds of the body. Now, if I could break that down and had more time, I could show you that that's our spirit. Our spirit through the Holy Spirit can put to death. The empowerment of the flesh. But we have one that prays for us. Have we not been learning about Him this week? Now, give me just a second. Because I'm going to do something. I'm going to show you an example of something. I didn't drink all this water. You're wondering, what is he doing? What is that crazy preacher doing? Oh, she's bringing me more. I don't need more. Jesus said the enemy is coming, but he has no handles in me. He has nothing to twist. When we come into Christ, our spirit is born again. You can't get your spirit any more righteous than it already is. The only problem is, sometimes, if we don't totally submit to everything Christ did for us, we can try to drag in a lot of strongholds. Wrong thinking. Wrong believing. Wrong attitudes. Not loving one another. Walking in the flesh. But I know one that prays for me. And as I begin to pray in the Spirit, it doesn't matter where those handles are at. As I begin to make intercession, the Holy Spirit begins to pray for my infirmities. The word infirmities means my weaknesses. Now, those weaknesses are not in the spirit. But what needs to change is the renewing of my mind. If there's jealousy there, I keep praying in tongues. Last year, the enemy may be in twisting jealousy. I'd start doing something for Christ. But I'd only go so far before I'd start seeing somebody and I'd start being jealous towards them. And he'd stop what I was doing. Through a stronghold of the flesh. But if I keep praying, if I don't give up, if I keep repenting, the blood of Jesus keeps cleansing me. I don't know when it happened, but jealousy leaves. Did I throw that over there? Oh, where'd that come from? Oh, he threw it. Okay, that's jealousy too. If I keep praying in tongues, Strongholds will begin to fall off. Fear may have stopped me before. Perfect love casts out fear. And if I keep building myself up and keeping myself in the love of God, fear's not going to hold me back forever. I don't know when it left. But thank God, fear will leave. Hallelujah. We're going to get to the place where we can say like Jesus, He has nothing in me. And when we do that, all things are possible. I don't know what the rest of these are, but whatever your handles may be, keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep ministering to the Father. Because step by step, the Holy Spirit will order your deliverance. You're already set free. But when you don't believe you're free, you'll walk in the bondage of that. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me?